As we make our way through the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, we see a decided turn in the way the crowd is receiving the Lord today. 2 weeks ago, of course, was the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, and they were so excited that the Lord left because they were going to try to make him king. And now, all of a sudden, they're murmuring. Murmuring is complaining, but they're not complaining openly. They think they're just chatting with each other, not realizing that it's the Son of God who's speaking, and he knows everything they're saying. When St. Thomas talks about this in his commentary on John's Gospel, he says that the reason that they're murmuring is because he's not giving them what they want. He's offering them the bread of heaven, and all they want is a loaf of bread. Their focus is on this world, and his focus is on the next. And it's an important thing for us to think about when we come to Holy Mass. Of course, the whole of the Mass is centered around worshiping God in the act of thanksgiving, the Eucharist, the thanksgiving to God who sent his Son to die for us and to redeem us. But it doesn't stop on Calvary. It's perpetuated until the end of time. He wants to be with us. And so when we think about the reaction of the Jews of Jesus' time when he's speaking about these things, I think it's a little warning for us too. We can be sometimes quite worldly and not otherworldly. We can forget that we need the Most Holy Eucharist. It's not just a nice thing that happens after all the prayers are done, everybody gets a little token. It's the real substantial presence of Jesus Christ that is food for the journey. One of the names of the Eucharist is Viaticum, which means, literally, it means on the way. And the Lord feeds his people on their Christian journey. Now, Viaticum itself is particular. It's supposed to be the bridge from this life to the next. The last time that we receive Holy Communion on this earth is considered our Viaticum, to take us over into heaven. But as the first reading made so clear, it was a foreshadowing of the reality of the Most Holy Eucharist. We need the Eucharist to live the life of Christ, to be strengthened, because it's not easy. If it was easy, the Lord would never have said, "Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me." Following Christ is something that you and I cannot do without Christ. And that's why he comes to us. St. Augustine speaks of baptism as the sacrament of faith. Because we profess our faith in who Christ is, we're plunged into the waters of baptism, and grace fills the soul. And he calls the Holy Eucharist the sacrament of charity, because it's a gratuitous gift of God's love for his people. And it's our way to live the Christian life. We don't have charity naturally. It's a total gift from God. And then he gives us himself. Love itself comes into our body and our soul so that we have the strength to live the life of Christ. And if you ever read the lives of the saints, there are a few things that the saints all have in common. And one of them is a profound love for the Most Holy Eucharist. You have people like St. Catherine of Siena, who, when she would receive communion, she would regularly go right into an ecstasy. And someone who thought he was smart was going to prove her to be a fake, and he took an ice pick and he drove it into her calf, and she didn't even flinch. And then when she woke up, she said, "Why does my leg hurt?" And you have St. Joseph Cupertino. He would go into an ecstasy so regularly, he would actually fly up to the top of the church And so the church, in her sense of humor, has made him the patron saint of pilots because of the Eucharist. But you know what? Most of the saints did not have that, like St. Catherine and St. Joseph Cupertino and several others. Most of them received communion like you and I do. We come forward, we reverently receive the Lord, and outwardly nothing happens. We don't fly back to our seats, we don't go into an ecstasy, but the reality of what happens when we receive Holy Communion is still happening interiorly. And it's a beautiful thing to behold someone who has a profound love for Jesus Christ in this most blessed sacrament. And it's not supposed to be exceptional. It should be normal for each and every one of us. And we have to keep our minds in tune to the whole purpose of the strength that we get from the Eucharist. It's to prepare us for heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. So the Eucharist is a foreshadowing of the complete reality of heaven, which is a perfect union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and with all of the angels and the saints. But it already starts right now. And so every time you go to Holy Mass, which I hope is every week, and maybe more if you're able, you should make a little prayer that this communion can be more fervent than the last one, that you can derive more benefit from receiving Jesus today than you did last week, and that you can live the life of Christ, of course, to carry the cross that you have in your life, but also to be to be a man or woman or child in the world, living God's love, his charity, because it's been strengthened and increased in us by our reverent reception, and then it's expected that we share it. One of my favorite lines from St. Augustine is, "Christian, become what you have received."